That thing's still not working. But turn to Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 2. I don't do this a lot, but I'm only going to read a very short portion of this. Colossians chapter 2. I'll read one full verse and a part of the next. Colossians 2. I'll begin in verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
And ye are complete in him.
Amen.
The title of my message is Complete in Christ. Let me read it again. And I will contextually add a few things here. But as you will see, God willing, is in context. Let's read it again. For in him, that is Christ.
Yes, sir.
And no other.
Exactly.
And no other. The statement made in verse 9 can apply to none other than Jesus Christ himself.
Exactly.
For in him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness. That means the repletion. That didn't help me a whole lot. But here's a word that may help you. The saturation. You know what it is to be saturated?
Yeah.
You ever walked on ground that was saturated in water, and when you walked on it, just every step, water squished up out of it? The saturation. For in him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the saturation of the Godhead. And then this amazing statement, bodily.
Amen.
So I add, even in his humanity.
Yeah.
Even as a man.
Yes, sir.
Remember, the book says God was made flesh.
Amen.
Jesus was not a man with God inside him. Jesus was God made flesh.
Amen.
That's a big difference. For in him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness, that is the saturation of the Godhead bodily, even in his body. And ye are complete. You are saturated.
Yeah.
Replete, or filled to the utmost capacity.
Yeah.
That's another way of putting it. And ye are complete in him. Don't miss the last two words.
Yeah.
Because they sum it all up.
Yes, sir.
And ye are complete. Had he just stopped there, I would have to say, that don't fit me.
That's right. Exactly right.
Huh? As glorious as this is, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body, and ye are complete. And if he just stopped there, I'd have great doubts.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, great, I have doubts. But I'd have great doubts.
Oh, yeah.
How could that apply to me? I'm not complete. Anyone who knows me at all knows that man ain't complete. But this is what it says. And ye are complete in him.
Amen.
You see it? And ye are complete in him. Think of the enormity of that statement.
Yeah.
Think of the immensity of this blessedness.
Yeah.
Right? Ye!
Yeah.
These Colossians, former, no doubt, former idolaters. Right? Many of them, no doubt. Former, some of them probably very immoral people. You go back and study Greek culture, and especially in some of these well-known towns or cities.
Oh, yeah.
Neil, it was replete with immorality, corruption,
yeah,
unrighteousness, ungodliness. And yet Paul writes to these people, and ye are complete in him. And I'll tell you what, where we live, in our communities, it's no different today.
That's right.
It's no different today. Think of that, the enormity of this, the immensity of this blessedness. And this vast blessing is upon those who have received Christ. It's actually that simple. Verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Granted, the emphasis in that verse is encouraging those who receive Christ to so walk in him.
Yes, sir.
But here's who it's written to those who have received. But look, not just receive Jesus, though that's true.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the Jesus.
Yes.
It's Jesus of Nazareth. But it's more than that. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, a specific, definite, singular Jesus.
Amen.
The Jesus who was and yet still is the Christ.
Amen.
You see it? The Messiah, the anointed one. That one promised from eternity.
Yeah.
We just didn't know anything about it till after Adam and Eve fell. You know? He was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Yes, he was.
But more than that, isn't it? As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord.
Amen.
You cannot receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and not receive him at the same time as your Lord.
Amen.
It doesn't work that way. That's not the way God ordained it. It's being taught that way a lot. And I got no real problem with saying receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because he is a personal Savior.
Right.
He saves personally, individually. When he saves 5,000 at a time, Joe, he still saves each one of them personally and individually.
Yes, sir. That's exactly.
But he saves them as Lord.
Yes.
And the one who saves them as Lord, they acknowledge him as Lord.
Amen. That's right.
Or there is no salvation.
That's it.
This great blessing is pronounced upon a people who have, and I'm going to put it this way, and I do it for effect, simply by receiving him.
Yeah.
Now, it's no simple thing to receive him.
Exactly.
But simply by receiving him. Is that not true? Is that not what the... Listen to another witness, John chapter 1. And listen to the very similar words of receive him. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, then he says, and in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye, those people who've just received him, and ye are complete in him. Now listen to what John puts it in John chapter 1 and verse 10. Speaking of this same Christ Jesus the Lord.
Yeah.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
That's right.
So there were some that didn't receive him, did they?
Exactly.
But as many as received him. Do you see it? And that means everyone who did receive him. All who did receive him, to them gave he power, that is, the right to become the sons of God. Then he defines this reception.
Yeah.
Even to them that believe, notice, on his name.
Yes, sir.
So if you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, then you have to know at least a little bit of something about Christ Jesus the Lord.
Exactly.
Right? Because
yeah.
You can't call on a person you don't believe in.
Yep.
And you can't believe in a person you've never heard about. And you can't hear unless God sends somebody to tell you about it. And they ain't going to come tell you about it unless God sends them to tell you about it. But when he does,
yes.
If you're one of his, you'll receive what? You'll believe on his name. But even that is qualified.
That's right.
Is it not?
Yes, sir.
Which were not yet born, not even immediately are born, but which were born. The birth comes first.
Yes.
Then comes the believing / receiving.
Yeah, that's right.
Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But look, we're not done yet. And the Word was made, what? Flesh. And who is this Word? If you go back and read the first few verses, this Word is God Almighty.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full. Do you see the word? Full, replete, saturated, filled to the utmost capacity, full of grace and truth. And let me say this, where there is no grace, truth will never be received.
That's exactly right.
But let me say this, where there is no truth, there's never been any grace yet. They both go together. You can't really separate the two. You must have grace first before you hear the truth. But God don't give grace just for grace's sake. He gives grace so that you might, and you read it, Joe, preach from it, and ably so that you might acknowledge the truth, which is after godliness. And Paul then back in Colossians puts it this way, and ye, that group of people, and ye are complete in him. This is true of me. This is true of you. If we are a born of God believer.
Amen. That's right.
If we are a born of God believer. There are a lot of believers in this world, but they haven't been born of God.
Exactly.
And one of the manifestations is they don't believe the truth.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
That's one of the manifestations of it. Another manifestation of it is when even when they say they believe the truth, they may have the right doctrines. They can care less whether they walk in him the same way. If you got a problem with being admonished to walk in him in the same way you received him, you got a problem, you had a problem with receiving him.
That's right.
That's just the way it is. That's not me laying down some law and being legalistic. That's the way of grace. Joe, you preached on that this morning from the scripture. Grace teaches God's people some things. What? That we're to deny certain things. We're to put them to the side. Remember, lay aside these things. Huh? That's what grace, if God's grace has saved you, God's grace is going to teach you to walk a certain way.
Amen. Yes, sir. That's right.
And it's going to teach you not to walk a certain way. And that's not law, that's grace.
Exactly right.
That's grace. But think of it, that's true of me. That's true of you if you've been born of God and you're a believer.
Yes.
And if you've been born of God, you are a believer.
Amen.
And if you really believe, if you believe in his name, you're born of God.
Amen. That's right.
And ye, those people, even though he wrote this to Colossians, he included some Laodiceans in this as well, didn't he? But he also included people who had never seen his face before. Look at it, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I've never seen his face either, Joe. So I can say this applies to me, Mac. You know, I never heard Paul preach. All I have is these letters here.
Yes, sir.
But in that, I've heard him preach.
That's exactly right.
In that, I've heard him preach. When I read these words, you just heard the Apostle Paul preach. You just didn't know it. You thought you was hearing me. I'm just reading what he said. Right?
That's right. Yeah.
That's right. Ponder on this. Let me give you five things quickly. There is no other completeness. How could there be?
That's it.
How could there be? For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So where is there any other fullness at?
Exactly.
And where could there be any other completion at? It's an impossibility, right?
Yeah.
That's, and I don't like the word, but I just don't have enough. That's logic 101.
There you go.
That's just reason 101.
Right.
Number two, there is no fullness outside of Christ.
Exactly.
There is no fullness outside of Christ. As a matter of fact, outside of Christ, you miss Christ. If you've not received Christ, all you have is emptiness. I don't care how full you think you are.
Exactly.
You could be full of religion. You miss Christ, you miss it all.
That's it.
You could be full of doctrine and even proper doctrine. You miss Christ, you missed it all.
That's it.
You've got nothing. You can be full of all that stuff, but it's nothing without Christ. For in him dwelleth all, not for in election.
Yeah.
Not for in the 5 points of Calvinism.
Yeah.
not for in predestination, not for in limited atonement, but for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete, where? In that same one. That's where you're complete.
Amen.
Number three, this is a God fullness.
Yes, sir. That's right.
So if there is any other kind of fullness, it don't really matter anyway, does it?
Exactly.
Huh? You're full of, better stop right there.
There you go, that's right.
You're just full of it.
Yeah, there you go.
This is a God fullness.
Amen.
This is a God completion.
Yeah.
Number four, this fullness is him. And completion is wholly, solely in him.
Amen.
These are simple things, and yet so profound, so vast, so immense, so enormous.
Yeah.
This fullness is him, and this completion is wholly, solely in him. Number five, all that Christ is. Now this is amazing, but it's simple enough and yet so profound. All that Christ is, we are.
Sir.
In him.
That's it.
Somebody says, but I know you. That ain't the point. It's him that matters.
Exactly. That's it.
Right?
Yeah.
This is true of me and of you if we are one of those that have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, remember that.
Yeah.
Don't say, well, I believe like everybody else here believes. That ain't what I... Do you believe Christ Jesus the Lord? That's it. Well, I've always been taught that. That's not it. I have. When you receive somebody, there comes a time when you receive them. Because the very point of receiving means at one time you didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the whole point of receiving. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. It didn't say in us dwelt receiving. Receiving didn't dwell in us by nature. By nature, we didn't receive him. We hated him, rejected him,
yes,
rebelled against him. But by God's grace, there came a time when and that part of that receiving, that believing his name, is exactly like you said. Bowing down in submission ever comes before you ever can talk about any authority. Paul was a servant first, then an apostle.
That's right.
His authority came from his submission to Christ.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And that's good. That's good, Joe. All that Christ is, we are in him.
Amen.
But what does being in Christ entail? Right? Isn't that something then we ought to look at least some detail? What does being in Christ entail? Well, turn to 1 Corinthians. And I'm not sorry. I was going to say I'm sorry I got nothing new, but I'm not sorry. I have nothing new. Let me give you four things here about what being in Christ entails. Let's look at the source of being in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. But of him, the last reference is to God. So God is the one he's talking about. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Being in Christ Jesus is a work of God.
Amen.
You don't believe to get in him. God puts you in him in a miraculous work of sovereign fiat of grace. He puts you in him, and then you receive him.
That's right.
You know why? Because you got nothing else to receive once he puts you there.
Amen.
Everything else around you, you know what you see? Christ, 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 Christ. Everywhere you reach, Mason, in one manner of speech, everywhere you reach, it's Christ.
Right.
Everywhere you look, it's Christ. You can't help it.
Yeah.
Something changes in where you live and where you are. But of God are ye in Christ Jesus. It's a work of God. You don't get in Christ. You have to be put in Christ. But we were put in Christ because God even chose us in him before he put us in him. And if you look at the context of 1 Corinthians 1, you'll see he even mentions the election, the choosing. And if you go back and look at Ephesians chapter 1, you'll clearly see that election taught. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. The source of being in Christ is God. Takes the work of God. But is there something that manifests being in Christ? Does God put somebody in Christ, Mason, then they're just in Christ and they never know about it? Nobody else ever knows about it. It's just they're just in Christ. Well, let's look at what Paul says to the Corinthians again in his second epistle, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And he says in verse 17, therefore, we're kind of getting a summary of what he said before, right? Therefore, if any man, now that means every man who is, right? Everyone, not a few, not a select few out of the select, not a select few among the select, not a elect few among the elect. Therefore, if any man be, what's the next phrase? In Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
You see it? So being in Christ does have a manifestation. Now granted, blind people ain't going to see it. But the person that happens to, they're going to know it. They're going to know something's going on. And other people whom this has happened to, they're going to begin to detect maybe this is going on in that person too. Just maybe.
That's true.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. That means God, until again, God's doing the work.
Amen.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's what I said. Everything you see around you is going to be different.
That's right.
When God Almighty puts you in Christ Jesus. When he, more appropriately, creates you.
Yeah.
In Christ Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He doesn't become it. He is. The being in Christ is a new creation.
Amen.
It's a new creation, but it's manifested in this way. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But what is it really that manifests this new creation? Right? Because that's being what it means to be in Christ, right? Well, turn to what Paul said to the Galatians, what he wrote to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 6. This new creation? I mean, what is that really? All right, Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in my free will. Thank God he gave me a free will. Wouldn't that have been a perfect place to put that?
Yes, it would.
If free will is really as important as most people say it is, and they say it's absolutely vital. Now, don't they?
Oh, yes, I do.
That's not what he says. Nothing like that. He didn't even say here receiving or nothing, does he?
No.
Look what it says. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. And you know that doesn't mean that Roman piece of wood, that stick of wood he hung on. It's talking about his sacrificial sufferings when he hung on that tree.
Yes, sir.
But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrificial, substitutionary, penal satisfaction to God's righteousness, justice, and holiness. There's everything on which salvation hinges in all of its aspects. Right there, what he did on that tree.
Yeah.
I mean, God could not, after the fall of Adam, listen to me, after the fall of Adam, God could not send somebody down just to tell us the truth and us just believe the truth and go to heaven. Sin had to be dealt with.
That's right.
It had to be dealt with, and God dealt with it in his Son, not just through his Son, but in his Son. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And I do like what Don Fortner said right after he said, bless God, he also bore them away.
Amen.
He bore them in his body on the tree, but remember that one goat?
Yeah.
Sent it out and laid the high priest laid his hands on its head. Transfer.
That's right.
Transfer. Now go. Bless right. God. Look, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. I don't see the world like I used to see it.
That's exactly right.
I don't even see myself in the world like I used to see myself. It's all different now.
Yeah.
The way I used to think, Mac, the way I used to believe, the way I used to walk.
Oh, yeah.
That's all perverted.
Yeah.
Corrupt now. Yeah. There's a new king in town now.
That's exactly right.
King Jesus has set up his throne in my heart, mind, and soul. By whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Look, for in Christ Jesus, there's that phrase again, right? For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Well, boy, at least I'm not a law keeper. What, you think that's giving you some credit before God? Well, I ain't no legalist. I'm a gracer. That ain't giving you no credit before God.
That's exactly right.
Well, I believe in election predestination. I don't believe in free will. That doesn't give you one ounce of merit before God Almighty.
You're right.
It's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. What is it that avails? But a new creature. You see it? In other words, think of it in the light of Saul of Tarsus. And all of a sudden, he becomes what?
Yeah.
Paul, the servant, and the apostle.
Amen.
See how it's all turned around different now?
Yes, sir.
Huh? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Look, and as many as. You know how many that means, don't you? All of them.
Yeah.
And as many as walk according to this rule. Now, somebody, I don't like any rules. Then you don't love grace.
There you go.
Yeah.
Then you don't know grace. Because grace rules in here.
Yes.
Not just from commands out here somewhere.
That's right.
And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. And let me tell you, it don't say it this way, but this is what it means. Nobody else.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Peace is not on anybody else. Until this happens to you, you've got no claim to peace.
Exactly.
Any peace you think you have is a false peace. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. And mercy. We need both. I've got to have both. Look, and upon the Israel of God. Now, I don't mean to throw you a curveball here. Most of you know, maybe some don't. We got a few that's not been with us as long, but I am what men call a premillennialist. But my premillennialism don't rule this book.
No, that's right.
And I hear premillennialists say, Israel's not the church. Well, let me tell you something. God's Israel is the church. The Israel of God is the church.
Yeah, exactly.
And we who are Gentiles, being wild olive branches, Paul said we've been grafted into that root stock of the olive tree.
Yeah.
My premillennialism deals with Revelation chapter 20, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And maybe some passages from the Old Testament that maybe refer to that time. The Israel of God are the elect of God chosen in Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And every Gentile who was chosen in Christ Jesus even is a wild, I'm still a wild olive branch. Joe, I may have took the place of a natural olive branch that was broken off. But I'm still a wild olive branch, but I'm still a part of the olive tree.
That's exactly right.
And the olive tree is the Israel of God. And that's what he's talking about. He's writing about these Jewish men that came in and claimed to be the elect of God, claimed to be preaching the truth, and he's saying they're not the Israel of God.
That's right.
They may be Israel by nature, but they're not Israel in Christ.
Exactly.
And that's what really matters.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, doesn't it? That's what really matters. So now you've gotten a 3-minute exposition of my premillennialism. And you know where I stand on that. This is what being in Christ is. Everything's different. And the only boast I got is in Christ and His cross work. That's it. And I will glory there. We're not just ought to glory there. That's the place we're supposed to glory. We're given the right to glory in Him and His cross work. Our affections, our devotion, our loyalty lies with Him.
Yes.
Right? That's what being a new creature is.
Yes, sir.
Your affections are turned to Him. Your devotion is turned to Him. Your loyalty is turned to Him.
Yes.
This is the new creation. Now, one last thing in this. That is, what does being in Christ entail? Let's look at the state of this new creation in Christ. In other words, what I mean by this, and be turning to John chapter 17. How does God view it? Now, what I've basically given you so far is God does the work, but when that work happens, it has some manifestations, right?
Yeah.
But how does God view that? How does God view this in Christ thing? Well, listen to what Christ said in his high priestly prayer in John 17, and I've got to move along. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Aren't you glad he prayed that too?
Amen.
Mason, he was thinking about you when he prayed this. Every one of you in here this morning, if you're one of his, he had you on his heart as the high priest. Your name was there in one of them stones.
Yes, sir.
I was right there, Joe, on his heart, on his mind. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's the other 11. The 11. That they all may be, one. See, that they all may be one. And then look, it's so profound. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us.
Amen.
Do you see the profound immensity of what it means to be in Christ? It means to be related to Christ, in Christ, united to Christ in a way that he was with the Father.
That's exactly right.
And in a way that the Father was with him. And John tells us these three are what?
Yeah.
One.
Amen.
And go on. Go on and read the rest of that. Being in Christ, help. Jack, how immense that is. How profound. But now, we've looked at what it means to be in Christ. We've looked at what is how it's manifested that you're in Christ. We see how God sees it, don't we?
Yeah.
But let's take note of this completion in Christ. Two things. First of all, about Christ. Because remember, it's in him that all this is true. In him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we are complete where? In him. So first of all, in this man. And that's the way to say it. In this man. That shows his union to us.
Yes, sir.
And that's always first. You will never have union to Christ unless he's first united himself to you.
Exactly.
And he did that in sovereign purpose before the world began. And he came and did it and fulfilled all the legal requirements of it when he died on that tree at Calvary.
Yes, sir.
And then he sends out his spirit and he sends out his gospel and he brings them all together in his ordained way and creates a new creation in Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
In this man, which that shows his union to us, dwells. Let me stop just a minute there. Dwells is fixed, stationary. In other words, it ain't coming and going.
That's right.
It's there and that's where it lives.
That's exactly.
It's there and that's its place. That's its home. In him dwells all that God is.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
The fullness of the Godhead, Father and Spirit.
That's right.
It's all embodied
in
the man, Christ Jesus the Lord.
Amen.
All of it. I can't explain that to you. That's just what the book says about it, right? That's the way it is, whether I can lay hold of it and dissect it and understand it or not, Joe. That's the way it is. In this man, his union to us dwells, that's fixed, stationary. In this man dwells all that God is, and in him, that's our union to him. In him, we are complete.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, how often have I preached, and rightfully so, about things I think we're in need of. Right?
Oh, yeah.
But let me tell you something. In him, we're complete.
Amen.
You don't lack nothing.
Exactly.
I don't lack nothing.
That's right.
There are a lot of things in this world and in this life and in our sojourn here, Mason, we lack and we need to add. He says, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, all these things. But let me tell you, in Christ, you can't add. How can you add to saturation?
There you go.
You can't.
Yeah.
That's why I call it saturation.
Yeah.
In Christ dwells all that God is. And in him, we're complete. Now, here is Christ. Just a few things. Oh, I don't have time, even in this whole life, to explain and expound and proclaim all that Christ is. But just a few things. Here is Christ, and remember, as I talk about who Christ is, remember, and ye are complete in Him. Isn't that what it says?
Yes, sir.
And go look at the context. Make sure I'm not going out of context. But also remember, and ye are complete where? Not in yourself.
Right.
In Him.
Amen.
Christ is God in full essence.
Yes.
Right? He didn't have a little piece of God. He was God manifest in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word was made flesh.
Amen.
God in full essence. God in the full majesty of deity.
Yes, sir.
Even as a man.
Yes, sir.
Even as a man. Full power. Full dominion. Full authority. God sees me where? In Him.
Yeah.
Do you see that? Now that's not talking about me having full dominion, me having full power, but God sees me where? In Him. In full dominion, in full power, in full authority. God sees us in Him. Thus, God sees us as full sanctity.
Yes.
I'm fully sanctified in Him.
Amen. That's it.
You can't add to sanctification if you're full of Him.
That's right.
Full in Him.
Amen.
Sorry. Full in Him. Full sanctity, full wisdom, full impeccable righteousness.
Yes.
We often lean on righteousnesses that are not full.
Yeah.
Remember, the prophet prophesied that even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. But when we're talking about being in Him, we're talking about a God righteousness.
Yeah.
An impeccable righteousness, full impeachable integrity. I ain't never known anything else, anything about that, except in Him.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Full, now think about this one, full, uncomparable worth.
Yeah.
He calls His blood precious blood.
Amen.
So precious that it can redeem men from sin.
Amen.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Hmm? Full, uncomparable worth. Now, one last third thing. Do not try and see yourself that way. That's our problem. We read that, we believe it, but we misconstrue it and we try to see ourselves as complete. That ain't it. And ye are complete where and how? In Him. You're not going to see it in yourself. You can only see it when you see Him, because it's in Him that we're complete, not in ourselves, in Him.
That's right.
We are complete in Him, period, Mac. Not we're complete in ourselves when we're in Him. We are complete in Him. See the difference? And there's a big, way big, whole lot of big, mucho gracia big. I don't even speak Spanish. Was that close to it? I don't know if that was even right. Here, don't try and see yourself that way. Believe it and rest in it, because God said it.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Believe it and rest in it, because God promised this is the truth.
That's it. Yes, sir.
So if I sum it up, let me sum it up this way. Have you received Christ? Have you received Him? If you haven't, expect nothing.
That's right.
Expect nothing from God but His wrath and judgment.
Oh, yeah.
But if you've received Him, you have the right to expect everything.
Yes, sir.
He says all things work together for your good. Now either God has to be true and is fulfilling that, Mac, or God's a liar, and God cannot lie.
That's right.
You don't expect based on you. You expect, and that's what hope means. It's the expectation, the constant expectation based upon the promise of God.
Yes, sir.
If you haven't received Christ, you have the right to expect nothing but His wrath and His judgment. But if you've received Christ, you have the right to expect everything. He'll come back one day and join you literally to Himself.
That's right.
We're going to live in a place where He's going to be the light of the city.
Exactly.
Won't be no sun and moon anymore, right? And they won't enter into that city anything that defiles. There's an abomination before God. So if we're in there, Mason, then what's that mean? Then we ain't defiled or abominable anymore.
Exactly.
Now, if you see me right now, you're going to see defilement and you're going to see abomination. But God doesn't see me in me. God sees me in Him.
Amen.
Now, I best start looking at you that way and you best start looking at me that way.
Yes, sir.
If we need some things to add, let's help one another in them. But let's also remember, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. Father,
amen.
Oh God, help us to walk by this. Not just to believe it, but believe it by Your grace, by Your Spirit, and through Your Word. Believe it that it changes our walk, our outlook about one another, our love for one another, our long suffering with one another. All these things I ask in Christ's name. Amen.